Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday night edition to the Rebel Report podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here on a, I mean, this is truly a bizarre, in a good way, week, because the calendar, everybody talks about the calendar. The calendar's jacked up. And if we're being honest, the calendar's pretty darn jacked up. But what is this news cycle that has been created is fascinating as hell, because right now Ole Miss is just getting nothing but exclusively good news. The player retention thing has been unbelievable for Ole Miss right now. I mean, you're just getting recommitment, if you will, after recommitment, after recommitment, after recommitment. And I mean, it feels like basically everybody that can come back at this point is coming back, and there are still more to come in this player retention. Also, the transfer portal. But in 2 days, Ole Miss is playing in the College Football Playoff semifinals. So you have this weird balance of, hey, we got to talk about the player retention thing. I mean, that is a massive, massive story that is happening with Ole Miss football, and it's a really good, like the good kind of massive, massive story. But also, there's a football game coming up. So here's what we're going to do. Here is what we're going to read your chat, and you guys can drive the conversation in the chat. But what I'm thinking is tonight, we talk about the player retention, because that is just the thing that keeps happening. And tomorrow, my good buddy Lee Sterling, who he's a handicapper is what he is, but he lives in Miami. He's a Miami guy, and he and I are going to record a long preview of the actual football game. So tonight we'll talk the player retention, specifically starting with Kiwon Lacy, but there's more. And then tomorrow I will give you a bonus episode of, I mean, again, he lives in Miami. He's a Miami guy, previewing the game from the Hurricane perspective to talk about the actual football game. And then whatever comments come up tonight about the game, great. We'll talk about that too. But yes, we will do the player retention thing tonight with you guys, if that's okay with you. So welcome in to, again, the Rebel Report. I appreciate you, especially for those of you that subscribe. Well, like and subscribe right here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And we will start today. It's a great day to start a new partner here on this podcast. Logan Smith at Shelter Insurance. Logan Smith, home, auto, life, and business. So he does it all. I will be able to tell you firsthand about my experience with Logan Smith, because I am going to get a new life insurance policy. That is something that has been on the table for me for a while. So once I'm done dealing with Logan Smith on the life insurance side, I will be able to tell you exactly what he can offer. So Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, he's based in Brookhaven, but you don't have to live in Brookhaven. You anywhere in Mississippi, if you need home, auto, life, or business, anywhere in Mississippi, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. Give him a call. Tell him that I sent you. Or again, Logan Smith Shelter Insurance on Google will also help you out. So he's a new partner this year on this podcast, and very thankful to have him. I put my money where my mouth is. I wear Genteel. We promote Genteel on the radio show. We promote C Spire. I use C Spire Internet. That's what we're streaming on literally right now. And I am going to use Logan Smith at Shelter Insurance. Give him a call, 601-823-3500, anywhere in Mississippi for auto, home, life, and business insurance. So, player retention, holy crap. We will start, though, with the biggest one, and that is Kiwon Lacy, because as you guys know, you've heard it, you've dealt with it, the conversation has been exclusively, almost exclusively, about when Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss, he is taking Kiwon Lacy with him. That's what's going to happen. Everybody guaranteed that Kiwon Lacy is going to LSU with Lane Kiffin. And then when Kevin Smith jumped on board, Kiwon Lacy's definitely following Kevin Smith to LSU. And sure enough, when he did not have to, that's the thing about this, by the way. I know you've got the Washington situation unfolding, which, by the way, Washington is claiming that he signed a binding contract and they're going to pursue legal action. And I am here to tell you, Georgia's doing the same thing with a player that was at Missouri that also, I guess, has entered the portal again. For whatever my opinion is worth to you, which you're here, I guess it is of somewhat value to you, I hope Washington wins. I think that the players have – I've always been somebody that thinks that the players have deserved some cut of the revenue. They generate so much revenue. It is expanded beyond the scholarships. I think that the players deserve to get paid personally. But I do think that it should be an employee-employer relationship, and it is not that. The players have gotten everything they've wanted, and the schools need to start pushing back somehow. And if he did sign a legally binding document with Washington, I think Washington should pursue all legal action. And if it's true, they should be able to reap the rewards of that. But the player retention piece, the players getting paid, everybody thought that Kiwon's going. He's going. He's gone. No way. Lane Kiffin's going to take him and a bunch of others and only the players that he wants. And has completely struck out on former Ole Miss players. And there's two reactions, very similar to the Trinidad thing, but this one's a little bit different. Kiwon did not have to sign, back to the original point, Kiwon did not have to sign anything with Ole Miss. You can argue that Trinidad didn't have as many options because they're waiting on the waiver and other schools wouldn't wait. Everybody in college football would wait for as long as they needed to on Kiwon Lacy. Everybody would wait. There was no reason for him to sign this unless he was staying. Now, maybe he could. I don't know. Williams at Washington is, I suppose. But there was no reason to sign unless he was going to stay. Somebody on the text on the radio shows said that it was a leverage piece. You don't have to do this. Nobody's forcing you to do this. Every school in America would have paid him to go there had he wanted to leave. But that's the thing about this. It is big for all of these players, but especially Kiwon, because he's elite. He's an elite running back. He does everything well. He's got vision. He's got balance. He's got power. He's got breakaway speed. His pass blocking is unbelievable. His teammates appear to really like him. He is the complete package at running back. He directly translates to wins on the field. The only thing that I hope Ole Miss does differently with him in 2026 is protect him better. That's what I want Ole Miss to do, is I want Ole Miss to protect him better. And so when you're playing, what is it, Charlotte in week two, and you've got a big lead in the third quarter, somebody else can carry the football at that point of the game. That's the only thing that I would change about the way they handled him this year. So on the football field, it's a big deal, right? Because he's an elite player, and there was no Kiwon Lacy in the transfer portal to replace him with. Elite football player. Pay what you got to do to keep a guy like him on your team, because he directly translates to winning. But the other thing, the other part of this that is so important is yet again the perception. Because the perception nationally about Ole Miss football under Lane Kiffin was they're winning because of Lane Kiffin. That was the, for a lot of people anyway, that was the perception, is Ole Miss is winning because Kiffin, and when Kiffin leaves, it's going to drop off dramatically, and he's going to take all these players with him, and everybody's going to know that Ole Miss was winning just because of Lane Kiffin. That was the perception. And he leaves, and this superstar running back could have gone anywhere in the country and has chosen to stay at Ole Miss to play for Pete Golding. And it's proof. You guys knew this already. But this sends a message. All of the player retention, even if one or two defect ultimately, all of the player retention sends a message nationally that Ole Miss did not win just because of one person. You guys knew that already. But there is a system in place. John Sumrall talked about it today on Outkick. I'd seek out that interview if you guys want to feel good about your program. the top to bottom alignment that people like me have talked about with you guys so much is not gassing you up. It's reality. From the chancellor to the AD to the fans to everybody, there is an infrastructure in place, Walker Jones and so on. There's an infrastructure in place at Ole Miss that has elevated the floor of that place in ways that people don't quite understand. And so that's something that we've talked about so much that people are starting to wake up to, is that, oh, wait a minute. Maybe Ole Miss is a place that is more than just Lane Kiffin. And nobody noticed that because all anybody talked about was Lane Kiffin. That's why Trinidad in the Sugar Bowl was so shocking to people that haven't, they didn't know anything about him, even though he spent a year playing quarterback in the SEC, because all the oxygen was taken away from him. All the oxygen of the Ole Miss program has been taken away and focused on somebody else, and nobody noticed what was happening. Is that a foundation of a quality, stable program is being built. And then the next thing, of course, is this shows something that we've been talking about for a long time, too, is relationships. And how even though Lane Kiffin is a brilliant football coach, he's not and was not a relationships guy. He detached from his program, and he sent a message to his program that he didn't think it was good enough, that he didn't think he could win. That's the message that was sent, is you are not good enough. And when you've got a roster full of players that were having the season that they were having, and they look at their head coach that they don't have a relationship with, because he didn't care about building relationships with his entire team, it's off-putting to them. There's a reason we talked about it so much. There's a lot of people that cover the team very clearly had sources within the roster that were telling them the players are fed up. They don't like this. This is not the idea that none of them care about the way their leader conducts himself is bogus. You've got an entire roster that looked at the way that was handled, the way that went down, and decided, hold on a second, I would leave this to go chase that guy, where I turn around and I've got Pete Golding and this staff here that has done nothing but make it about the team from the day they stepped in these doors. I'm fine where I am. They will pay me. They fulfill their promises. They're hiring great coaches. They've got a great infrastructure, and they care about me. It's a no-brainer. And a decision like Kiwon Lacy's and all the other players that I'm going to mention here in a second is a spotlight shining example of how relationships and integrity still matter, even in a sport that is filled with drama and a cutthroat nature. That stuff still wins out at the end of the day. So huge for football, because he's an elite player. Huge for program perception, because it's not just one person. Ole Miss didn't win just because of one person. And it's an exposure of the machine that has been built behind the scenes. And it's validation for people like me and others that have been talking about from day one the player's displeasure, Keith Carter's actions and all of this, which are completely and totally validated and justified. They were at the time, but nobody can argue against it now. And Ole Miss is not just one person. This is a big deal. And then you got even more. Caleb Odom coming back, Luke Haz coming back. That is big for the tight end room. I think you've seen a lot of potential from both of them spelling Daquan Wright, which is that's huge, getting the two of them back, because you look really solid in the tight end room. I think you go get one more anyway, but those are two guys that have helped this team, and in the absence of Daquan Wright going to the NFL, they will help. Devin Harper, you don't have to go to the portal for an offensive tackle, another offensive tackle anyway. Deuce Alexander signed his new deal with Ole Miss. He is a big-time wide receiver. You're losing Stribling and Wallace to the NFL. You don't have to go. They're going to get a wide receiver, maybe more than one out of the portal, but you have a plug-and-play instant wide receiver one on the outside. Through the first half of the season, Deuce Alexander was the best receiver on the team, and he still has that kind of potential, but you're so deep at that position right now. But others in the SEC wanted him badly. And yes, before you ask, yes, they did too. But him coming back is huge. He's a high, high level wide receiver. But there's more that we haven't talked about besides Kiwon Lacy. You've got Jam Brown returning, Prince Will, Uman Mielen after some heavy pursuit from, yes, you guessed it, returning. The kicker and the punter returning. We've Ladarian Clardy in the back end of the defense, Jalen Braxton in the back end of the defense. This entire football team is coming back. There are so very few players that at this point have not announced their intentions to return. You've got this really incredible nucleus of players that are leading to wins right now on the field that are coming back, and you are supplementing the losses via transfer portal. This is a roster for 2026 that right now you're talking about a team that as of this moment will be a preseason top five team next year. If Trinidad wins his waiver, I think he's going to be on the field regardless, whether he wins a waiver or they get an injunction in court. It's a massive deal. It really is for so many different reasons. And I'll be honest with you guys. I'm surprised it's going down like this. I thought at least some guys would follow Lane to LSU. I did not think it would look like this. I didn't think that there was a greater chance he strikes out completely than gets a handful of players that they actually wanted. One or two still may go. But to witness this is truly remarkable that Ole Miss is in the position that they're in when it comes to roster retention in an era where everybody leaves. You had your coach leave. Nobody wants to follow him. That's a crazy, in this era, that is a crazy statement, but it's a testament to Pete Golding and the kind of coach that his team clearly thinks that he is. And then everybody else involved, AD, Chancellor, fans, collective, all that pulling the rope in the same direction to put Ole Miss in the position that it's currently in to have a roster that it will have in 2025. And they're not done in the portal either. And they're not done with player retention announcements either. There's more that have already signed that they haven't announced yet for whatever reason. So big time stuff from Ole Miss this week. I'm surprised that we're having this conversation right now in a good way. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. That's what they do at Priority One Bank. They have local loan servicing and decision-making. They have 16 locations in Mississippi. It's where I bank. I tell you guys, I put my money where my mouth is. I use the people that partner with me, and that's Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. Check them out. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Real quick, before we get started, can you please talk about this Damon Williams thing that just popped up? That's so bad, man. It's terrible. It really is. You don't have to sign these deals unless you know that you are going to stay. You don't have to. Nobody forced Kiwon Lacy to sign his deal. Nobody forced anybody to sign anything. You didn't have to do this. And if it was legally binding, like they have said, and apparently, by the way, Damon Williams is going to go to LSU. Okay. That's going to turn into a pretty ugly thing. Quote, sent to The Athletic, Washington has no intention of releasing Williams from the contract he signed on January 2nd. So now there's going to be a fight. LSU has gotten themselves into a legal fight over a quarterback. And Sam Leavitt apparently going to go visit Tennessee. Ugly, ugly stuff. Really ugly stuff. I hope Washington wins. At some point, the schools have to have some level of power. At some point. It would be crazy if Winnie Watkins stays home. As long as he they get him to tone down his online behavior a little bit. Past week has been unbelievable. So much momentum and a complete slap in the face to the previous coach. Absolutely. Now they just need to go win on Thursday. LSU went from no grace period to full rebuild mode. No kidding. Portal Pete, baby. Living in Baton Rouge has been fascinating to watch. The narrative get twisted all of a sudden. No kidding. Deuce Alexander coming back is massive. It really is. He is. His body control is especially awesome. And the only reason why he's not like the primary receiver, there are very few teams that he would not be wide receiver one on in the country. But you just have Stribling and Wallace there already, and he still plays and like is a big part of this offense with those two guys involved. It is a big deal. To have the internal continuity is so big. You have it on the offensive line. You now have it in the tight end room. You now have it at running back. And to have Deuce, there's talk about Caden Lee returning. That would be a massive one. Caleb Cunningham, there are people that expect a lot of him next year. We'll see. He just hasn't played much for us to really know. But having so much continuity going into next year is so big. Say when he's having a change of heart, it's a hell of a player. Leaving for Phoenix from Little Rock tomorrow, expecting to see Rebs there. There's going to be a lot more Rebs than Miami fans, I think. So happy right now, you should be. The fans and local media already getting antsy with Kiffin. Tell them all just wait. I think he's going to win, but I don't think he's going to win at the level that will satisfy them ultimately. You mean everyone is choosing to play for our poverty team, live in our poverty town, play in our poverty stadium in front of our poverty fans? Yeah. I mean, do none of these guys know that Ole Miss didn't win any Heisman trophies? Does nobody? What? It's almost like there's more to a program than what the people before you did. It's almost like relationships matter. It's almost like what you are right now matters. It's almost like alignment matters. But what do I know? I only have spoken to people directly related to the players, including family members of players. I've only spoken to them, and when they say that all that stuff matters, it's almost like it does. What do I know? Linebacker room might be the best they've ever had, especially with Dottery back. I do expect that announcement soon. I really like Dottery a lot. And you should hear, again, that John Summerall interview is worth listening to. Hear Summerall talk about him and his communication ability. And he's just an absolute workhorse. I mean, barely misses snaps in games. But between him and the Baylor transfer, and now you got the news, Chris Jones from Southern Miss in the boat as well. It's a really good group of linebackers next year. Really good one. Managed to get a student ticket for the national championship game, but none of your friends got one. Guess you lucked into it. Go by yourself. Make new friends, man. You got to go. If they win, you've got to go. 60 minutes from a national title game appearance. Absolutely. Lucas Carniero may have single-handedly footedly saved this program. The winning has most certainly helped. It has helped. Percent chance Chambliss is on the field next year at Ole Miss? I would say 80. So I'm a little confused. Is Kevin Smith coaching in Phoenix? I'm sure part of the reason he was back was to recruit Lacey to Baton Rouge. Honestly, I don't know that answer. I think we'll find out soon enough. As we talked about, Pete Golding has been working on this. That's why I brought up the Patrick Carter Instagram. I know one message board really didn't like that, but that's why it was so interesting to me. Was George McDonald not really serving as the receivers coach? And as we've learned, not really. That they have been preparing for these guys. That they have so many analysts and so many staff members, and those guys have been doing all the heavy lifting for weeks anyway. So that's why the Patrick Carter part of it was so interesting to me, is because, well, is he serving a bigger role? And sure enough, yes, he was. So Pete Golding got annoyed at Heather Dinich, and I understand why. That it's business as usual for them, that they're not worried about the impact, because there isn't one. They've been operating with or without them the exact same way. So I don't know. I don't know if he'll be there. I don't think it makes a difference whatsoever between winning or losing the game. So if he's there or not, doesn't matter at the end of the day. It really doesn't. Any word on Deuce? The only thing that would prevent him from going to Ole Miss is if somebody guarantees him a starting spot. At least that's what everybody thinks anyway. So there you go. Saying Chambliss will eventually win his appeal. The pressure and money on it's growing by the day, especially when the lawsuit would be pretty easy. Having Frank Wilson and Kewon Lacy such a middle finger to both LSU and Lane, there's a reason they forced Frank Wilson out. Not 100% of the reason, but a major part of the reason was to bring Kewon Lacy with him. What do you think Ole Miss and LSU will be ranked in the preseason poll next year? Ole Miss in the top five, LSU in the top 25. But not in the top five. Please, Lord, give me one more win. I know he doesn't care who wins, but please, Lord, I hear you. Rumor is Lane threw a hissy fit when he got the news on Kewon. Would not surprise me. At this point, I don't think anybody of true meaning to the team is transferring. I mean, there could be one or two, but I mean, think about it. Who else hasn't? I expect Dottery to return. I think they're just waiting on that. Could be wrong, but I think so. Same thing with Cam Franklin. They haven't announced it. I don't think there's a hang up. I just kind of think they're announcing these one at a time. But I mean, you're losing Stribling, Wallace, Wright to the NFL. You're losing Pounds and Williams to the NFL. That's all on the offense, but your quarterback's back, presumably. Running back back, Alexander back. Don't know about Caden Lee, but the presumption is he will be back. Both your tight ends are back. Have not seen an announcement on Kutis, but the expectation is your three interior offensive linemen will be back. Your already on roster tackle just re-upped today. You've portaled in another offensive lineman. They'll probably get another one. On defense, Perkins back. Prince Will back. Xavian's off to the NFL. But Echols back. Jam Brown back. The presumption is Franklin's back. Braxton back. I mean, it's Kite back. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. Basically, everybody that you want is back. That's not going to the NFL. Seeing the power of Ole Miss, the Grow Collective, Pete Golding, in the spite of a coach leaving his team, absolutely. What do you think the biggest needs are left? Think another tight end and receivers, maybe a depth offensive lineman, but I think they like what they have in that room. Yeah, another offensive lineman, I think. Another wide receiver, which I think there's already one that hasn't announced yet. I think a safety. Their needs aren't very high, though. I don't think this is going to be a particularly massive portal class. There's so many players remaining. LSU fans are genuinely already getting angry. That's not bias or sour grapes. They are truly. They should. Offensive line is really starting to take shape for next year. So is the defensive. Yes, it is. Was surprised to see Haz re-sign without a coach. It's more about the offense that they're going to be running than their position coach. And they're going to run an offense that will utilize it. It's the same offense. So. Did Ole Miss practice today? I don't know if they practiced. I know they traveled today. I would assume they did walkthrough stuff today. Can't help but think of Kiffin playing the part of Ben Stiller's character at the end of the movie Dodgeball. Don't want to look far ahead, not seeing holes in next year's roster. Not many right now. Are you the only one that doesn't see elite player in these portal quarterbacks? No, you're not the only one. Because they are the portal quarterbacks, everybody gets excited about them. But no, there is not. It is a bad time right now to be desperate for a quarterback. It's a bad time. And Golding already beat the exact same team Kiffin lost to. No kidding. Rep still taking the Patriots plane. That has been pretty cool to see. Absolutely. Absolutely. I did see what Stephen A. Smith said. I liked what Keith Carter did. Said, hey, we'll fly the jet up to you so you can come down and see it for yourself. I think it's pathetic that is what ESPN has become. ESPN is just a shell of itself, the one that I grew up on. And it is especially bad when that is the exclusive television partner of the Southeastern Conference and their highest paid employee, their most forward-facing employee, the one that they promote the most, saying something like that on the network that airs your games is truly pathetic, is what that is. It's embarrassing, and the league should step in on stuff like that. I don't know if they will, but they should, because if you're going to partner with us, if you're going to air our games, you can't. You're not going to talk about a member institution so ignorantly. Thoughts on the Joe Judge quote today? Thought it was hilarious. It's gone viral. Yeah, the Joe Judge. I live next door to Aaron Hernandez about the chaos that they've dealt with. Deuce coming back is bigger than advertised. Clutch kid with Usain Bolt speed. I wouldn't go that far, but yes, he very fast. Great ball skills. If you're on the team, why would you want to play for him again? I mean, I wouldn't. The way that he conducted himself, the players very clearly are not attracted to that. Not at all. I don't know this answer for sure, but you're asking about the connection for the Patriots plane. I assume it's just Joe Judge. That would be my guess, is simply the Joe Judge connection there. Even the Ole Miss band got a Fiesta Bowl-themed equipment truck that's taking their gear cross-country. That's cool. That's really cool. No one looks better right now than Keith Carter. Every move that he made, he is justified. He tried his hardest until the very end to keep Lane Kiffin because that was the right thing to do, right? He tried his hardest. But he made it very clear the whole time, you can't coach the playoff. Why can't he coach the playoff? This is why. And this, by the way, when the people on the game day set, especially Nick Saban, who, in hindsight, go watch that College game day segment again. What an embarrassment that was for Nick Saban, who I respect, and Kirk Herbstreit, who's been one of the voices of college football for a long time, for them to sit on that stage and say what they said. They only said that because they did not expect Ole Miss to get to this point. That the only, either A, it's they were doing their agent talking points, or B, just like Lane Kiffin, they did not expect Ole Miss to end up where they are right now. That's the only reason why they could possibly have said what they said on that stage, because there was Keith Carter was right from the second he told Lane Kiffin, there's no way you can coach the playoff. Here's why not. This is why not. This would not be happening. The 2026 Ole Miss football team would not look like the one it's going to look like had he let Lane Kiffin coach the playoff. There is a 0% chance that would have happened. And I would say there's a 0% chance that they're in this position. Their coach didn't even think that they could have gotten here. There's no way it would have worked. He was spot on from the beginning. Anybody that argued against that was completely and totally unbelievably foolish. Insane. And so I'm glad all that happened, actually. So you have something to look back on it, and you can kind of see how the machine works now. Defense is going to be so nasty next year. The depth. Oh, man, the depth. Is this a preseason top 10 team next year? Top five. You think Ole Miss adds another running back for depth? I do. I do think that they will look in the portal for a running back. How does this roster compare to 2024 for next season? I think it's more complete. I don't know if the defensive line will be as good or the front six will be as good, but I think top to bottom roster wise, it's better, more complete. These rebuilding years are tough. No kidding. Heard Lane Kiffin was upset with his running back coach after Lacy committed to Ole Miss. Yeah, I've seen that a lot of places. I don't know how real it is or not, but I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Remember when we said a rebuild year was 8-4? I joke a little, but that only happened when the wheels came off in 2022. Yep. From the Miami podcast, they should win by 14-plus because Ole Miss has not played anyone. That's why the offenses look good. Ah, well, that's not true. I mean, there is – I have not been invited on any Miami-based podcast this week for whatever reason. I don't know. Don't particularly care, but I don't know why. But these – two fan bases, and you're having the respect off on mine, which is funny, but you don't get to this point through the path that these two teams have gotten through without being exceptionally good football teams. And Miami's good at this, and Ole Miss is good at that, and they're different teams, and one's going to win on Thursday. But I don't know which one you're referencing, but I saw one where the guy was like, I just don't think Ole Miss is a good team. It's like, all right, guys, I know we're in the takes business and stuff, and you're trying to generate engagement, but can we not dumb down the industry that far? You're in the Final Four of college football. Every single one of these teams is elite. You don't get to this point without being an elite football team. Can you not be that dumb? Come on, man. Let's go. According to LSU fans, Kern is absolutely terrible. They're salty. I mean, I'm sorry, a true freshman playing offensive line in the SEC wasn't perfect. Oh, no. Going to scroll a little bit. Tucker, good to see you, man. Good to see you. Arizona bound in the morning. I miss you, buddy. Hopefully, I will see you in Miami. Charlie Weiss was in such an impossible situation. I think he's gained everyone's respect. I think he has. And also, the NFL thing with him, that didn't come from Ole Miss people. That would make a lot of sense, especially if somebody is looking for a clean break. He was put in an impossible situation. I think the way that his head coach talked about him after the Tulane game says a lot about the way he's handled all of this. Some people have started talking about the way his family was acting at the Sugar Bowl in a good way, by the way, a very good way, as like the emotional connection is still very much there. Especially if he calls a good game Thursday. Really need to add some receivers. Losing two starters this year, and we'll lose Caden Lee after next year. I think they've already got one, but yeah, I would expect another as well. I am not going to Glendale. It was too fast of a turnaround. Started school back this week as well. Couldn't make that trip in 6 days, especially with the radio show and stuff like that. Knock on wood. Should they win on Thursday, the plan is for us, and that includes Brian Haydad, to be in Miami. Almost has the best kicker in the country. I think they do. You say right now he doesn't have a quarterback or an O-line to get him the ball. Yeah, sure, LSU fan Ron. Good to see you. Yeah, that's whatever helps you sleep at night. You say just confirm Charlie Weiss Jr. is headed to Arizona. That was never in doubt. That was never in doubt. If his new head coach tried to stop him, he would not stop. Wouldn't. So that's not an issue. What can actually come of this Damon Williams situation between him, Washington, and LSU? He pays back. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the contract says, but Washington appears to be very confident that Washington believes that they have a legally binding document. So this is an unprecedented thing. We're about to find out, but if I were Washington, I would not go quietly into the night. You signed a new deal with this, with your quarterback days ago. It has set you behind in the portal. Yeah. Are there any staff positions left to be filled? Tight end coach. Tight end coach still has not been filled. Other analyst roles and stuff like that too, but could have the best defensive front in the nation next year. Depth, absolutely. When do they get Deuce Knight? Not yet. That's just the expectation as of this time. Things can change, though. Has Ole Miss ever had two defensive tackles at 6'5", over 325, more like 350 plus? Wish Harris had an extra year. I mean, him next to, is it Boiro from Florida, the absolute mountain? Yeah. Sorry, I just butchered his name. I'm not a name guy. Good to see you, old Rebel. Really appreciate you, man. I think we're spending spring break back in the Palmetto State. Which freshman makes the biggest difference next year? I feel like Yates will be explosive. Oh, gosh. That's a question you got to ask me some other time. I have no idea, to be honest with you. Haven't heard anything about Mills Knight in forever. Is he still around? Yes, he is still around. Steve, I could be wrong here. So please forgive me, Shekhi Mills Knight, if this is not accurate. As I understand it, he hasn't played a lot of football, and he showed up to campus with a lot of, like, really raw. Physically ready, but just really raw. But apparently the upside is there, and they really like the player. It just, you know, needed some time before he was ready to play. Shouldn't be surprised that Ole Miss is doing as well as they are on the portal. Infrastructure combined with success and exposure gives Oxford more leverage than they ever have, for sure. Watch party at Porky's. depending on how the first half goes, I might do the second half live. Because the game starts early. It's an early kickoff, so somebody will still be up. So being live would not be a good idea. What major talent wouldn't want the exposure that comes with playing in January combined with money? No kidding. Hey, Dad, Miami would be a great scene. I'm so excited. We'll have to blog it all and stuff like that. It'll be a lot of fun. He will not have fun. It will be a lot of fun. But he'll power through it. He's been a good soldier, man. NCAA may want nothing to do with another lawsuit. Not that you agree with the exemption. They don't want another lawsuit, especially one that is tied to a health situation. Safe travels, Edward. Have fun. Enjoy yourself, man. What about the strength and conditioning coach position? Well, 1 second, I'll tell you what the rumor is. Hold on. I forget his name. That's why I'm... Is it Paul Constantine is who the rumor is? I believe so. The Falcons head coach got fired. Let me make sure this. Yes. Okay. That's the rumor. He's been with the Falcons, Paul Constantine. And again, when you pull up his page on the Falcons website, it's been scrubbed because they fired Raheem Morris and, you know, his staff goes too. But that is the rumor. I don't know if that ended up being who it was or if they're still waiting. I don't know, but that was the rumor. The constant momentum Ole Miss generates has to be demoralizing to State and Levy, especially after they lose the bowl game too. And yeah, I think Kiwan will be a betting favorite to win the Heisman in 26. Your Heisman, top two Heisman odds guys will be Arch and Trinidad going into next year, I think. Julian Sain also. Chambliss announcing and a money figure being put on it, even if it was agreed and willing, was to legitimize him staying and forcing their hand in a positive way for us. Yes. Last slide before the game and haven't gotten a score prediction. Call it. Ole Miss versus Miami. What leads to a win? What's the score? Ole Miss's explosive offense will be the difference in the game. Miami is very good, elite, truly elite, especially on the defensive front. They're going to run the football. They do a lot of things really, really well. I think what will be the difference is Ole Miss has more big play ability than Miami does, and there will be the one big play, and they'll turn Carson Beck over a time or two. It'll be close, more low scoring, 27-24. Ole Miss to the national championship is my prediction, but you don't want that because I picked against Ole Miss and they beat Georgia. But I did pick them to my record for Ole Miss, and I did pick them to cover against Georgia as well. I was aligned with them completely all season long. So maybe I'm onto something here. I'm kidding. No, I'm an idiot. 27-24 is my score prediction. This is a really good Miami team, though, guys. Ole Miss has a challenge on their hands. It should be, frankly, it should be a lot of fun, like an elite football game. High-level teams. So there you go. Really appreciate you being here. You'll get a game preview tomorrow, and we'll be live maybe in the second half, definitely after the game on Thursday. Really appreciate you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.